to this time or this opportunity to share some stories of what God has been doing, testimonies to God's glory. And if some people are already prepared, and I've got a bit of a list, I hope, that people are ready to go. But there may be one or two of us that have come who have not said anything, but still would like to say something as we go along, and it will give that opportunity as well to you. So there's no particular order, and the idea is just to bring people out a couple of minutes and just to hear those stories, and we'll see how it goes. We could be here for the next 10 minutes or for the next 10 hours. Let's hope it's somewhere in between, all right, okay, in what we're doing. So in this area, so we can still catch you on the YouTube, if that's all right. There you go, Liz. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. The testimony is kind of twofold, really. The fact that I'm up here speaking to you, because public speaking terrifies me. Jenny, some time ago, asked me to do a Bible reading, and I told her I was quite terrified. But she prayed with me, and God got me here, so glad on that. And also, God's been nudging me for a long while. I kind of felt like I was a bit lazy, throwing him scraps. You know, I would read a Bible verse here and there, but I wasn't really getting immersed in his word. And then, I don't know if it was a couple of months or a couple of weeks ago. I'm a bit time blind as well. We heard a sermon, and I felt a flick, you know, like somebody was shaking me and come on, wake up. And it was, are you all in? Are you all out? So after I heard the sermon, after the service, I got in my car and I kind of cried because I thought, I want to be all in God. So I went home and I started thinking about my life and things, what I've been doing. And the biggest thing that I think with me is I haven't really been immersing myself in God's word. Like I said, I've been a bit lazy with it. So I thought, right, I'm gonna go for it, and I opened up the book of Revelation, and I was reading along, and there it was in chapter 3, verses 15 to 16. I know you well, you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other, but since you are merely lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. And it's like the verse lit up. I can't explain it. When I read that verse, I was thinking about the sermon, and when it lit up, I'm like, God is shouting at me now, come on. And I just thought, yes, God, I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want you to spit me out.
And I know you've been taking active steps into that, so it's not doing an idea, you've been stepping forward, I think, which is really encouraging, part of which was coming forward today as well, which is a big thing. And as we give, I just think we get blessed more abundantly, so I look forward to what God's going to continue to do. Liz, Margaret, where's Margaret? She said, can I go second? I said, go on then.
Some time ago, I started to pray for a man convicted for a crime of which he was innocent. His name was Alexei Navalny. I prayed that God would give him strength to endure the harsh conditions of a Russian prison, and that he would feel God's comfort and presence, and that justice would prevail, and that he would be released. Two more men were later convicted, and I prayed again that they would be given strength, know God's presence, and to be released. I felt that God had led me to pray for these innocent men. Sadly, Alexei Navalny died whilst in prison in January this year and didn't get to see justice. But 1 month ago, I saw God's answer to my prayers. As Vladimir Karamirza and Evan Gershkovich were two of 17 prisoners released as part of the Russian-American prisoner exchange. We have a mighty God, and with him nothing is impossible. And to see my prayers answered in such a way is amazing. Thanks be to God.
Power of prayer. Amen. Stella. Where's Stella? Say Stella. Come on.
We're not nervous, are we?
No. That's a friendly lot, most of them.
Right. Oh, it's a heavy message, this. It's. I make no apologies for it. You might need one of them crooks again, you know, to drag me off.
I've got one, don't worry. I've got one.
To be honest with you, it's God's, Father God, I can't do this. You'll have to give me the words. Lord, I give you all honor, praise, and glory. All glory to you. Only you are worthy. I thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, your delivering grace, your forgiveness. I came into Christianity from a false religion. I broke the first commandment. You don't worship any other God. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to give a little bit of background as to what happened a couple of weeks ago. I was a Buddhist for 20 years. I found the Lord, the Lord rescued me 21 years ago out of a miry clay, I'll tell you. As a Buddhist, the Lord knows his children. You know what? I believe the Lord knew I was saved even when I was a Buddhist, because he's out of time. He sees the beginning of our lives, he sees the end of our lives. And he looks after us even though we're not with him. And he always, always looked after me, even though I went through horrendous tragedies. So he rescued me. And I will say, without a shadow of a doubt, I believe that God's word is true, every word. And if he says don't do it, I have the spirit of the fear of the Lord now. I'll try not to do it, but sometimes you do it and we get clonked. Not by him. Last week I listened to the message, that Mike's message about humility, brilliant, and about the devil's downfall, pride. And that devil's real. And the word of God says, my people perish through lack of knowledge. Now, I came into Christianity absolutely tormented. I would say demonized. He planted me in a church that ministered in spirit, moved very heavily in spiritual warfare. The minister had a deliverance ministry. And over the next 2 or 3 years, I was delivered of all kinds of horrors, because I really was tormented. I was delivered of torment, of fears, that's a big one, of grief, spirits of heaviness, rejection, you know, oppression, depression. Right, I'll get into it now. 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was really clonked with a spirit of heaviness. It was awful, oppression, depression. It was absolutely awful, and it came in out of nowhere. The word says the devil roams around like a hungry lion, waiting for his opportunities. He doesn't like leaving somewhere that he considers to be his home. And he looks for an opportune moment to come back, a moment of weakness. And somehow I let that in again. But oppression and depression can hit you that hard. You can't do anything. You can't move. You don't feel like doing anything at all. You just want to sleep. And I'm crying out to the Lord, Lord, what is going on? Now, I've been in deliverance ministry and spiritual warfare teaching for 18 years, and still it hits me. Because in 18 years, what I learned is the tip of the iceberg. Robert and I have got into the habit of putting on a DVD at night of Derek Prince. We like Derek Prince's teaching. And he's balanced. He teaches on the love of God. He focuses more on the love of God than anything. But he talks about spiritual authority, that we have all authority on earth and in heaven in the name of Jesus against the works of the devil. Praise God. The word of God is the same. The Lord's the same today, forever. And the third of Jesus' ministry was the casting out of demons. This particular night, he's talking about as a young man, he had real oppression and depression that went on and on and on. It stopped him from doing anything. He searched the word of God. Everything we need is in the word of God. Everything we need for victorious living. And he found the scripture, all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And the other one he found was, we're not given a spirit of heaviness but a garment of praise. And he said it went ping. I realized I wasn't dealing with myself. I was dealing with a person without a body that was attacking me. So he followed the word of God. He submitted, he said, Father God, I'm calling on you to deliver me from this spirit of heaviness. And devil, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I submit to God. I resist you. I command you out of me now in the name of Jesus. Get out now. And he said it was like a giant vacuum cleaner came down over his head, his shoulders, sucked it up. And he was immediately free. That same week, I heard those scriptures twice more, three times. So I went for it. I knew it anyway because I'd been taught it. But when you hit so hard sometimes and you feel so wretched, it's like you can't think straight. So I prayed the prayers. I didn't feel like there was a vacuum cleaner. But I put praise music on. I danced around the house. I sang. I praised the sacrifice of praise. I praised the Lord. He's an amazing God. And by the afternoon, I was free. And I've been free since. Now, that's the second time I've been delivered of that one. Now, the other, just quickly, another one that clonks me again and again is fear. Now, there are people in here that are chained. All sorts of fears, oppressions, depression, rejection, loneliness, isolation, heaviness, orphan spirits. Don't put up with it. In Christ Jesus, you've got the authority. And in him, because we can't do it, we do nothing without him, but in him we have the victory. And I just want to say, Robert, God bless him this year, after taking antidepressants for 25 years, he's free of them. It's God.
Thank you, Stella. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. It is, you know, we stand in victory, don't we? You know, and on the cross, Jesus conquered it all, and he is victorious, and we stand in his name, and we have the power, and prayer is powerful, and praise is powerful, and we need to sometimes learn those lessons in our lives, don't we? Different stories about how God is at work and has been at work in people's lives. Pat, do you want to come up and share something of your story?
Hi everyone, I'm Pat, in case you don't know me. It's brief, it's going to be really brief because I get a bit embarrassed. I went away just recently carrying, and what this lady's just been saying has confirmed everything, carrying like a ton of potatoes on my shoulders, worries, stress, fear. Goes on holiday, gets there, bouncing down with rain, everything, you name it, it hit us. No signal. couldn't phone my children. My worst fear in the world, not being able to have contact with children or my family. We decided to stay another night. I don't know if anyone's heard of the Eden camp. We went there because I wanted to come home. My husband said, no, come. This is when God stepped in. And I knew it was God. He was dealing with something in me. Praise God for it. And I have a fear, and the fear is not being in control and knowing where the children are safe. If I think a child is not safe, I cannot cope. I can't handle it. And in Eden Camp, there's a big, where you can climb up these steps to go and see all round the gardens. Now, I'm feared to death of heights. Lee, everybody can confirm this. I am terrified of heights and lifts. I won't go in unless I really have to. So we climbed up, but I heard this voice saying, trust me, trust me. And I kept thinking, shut up, who's talking to me? And I thought, no, just go with it, Pat, go with it. Come on, you can do this. So Colin said, come on, Pat, I want to do it. So I did it for him. Not for me, but somebody was telling me to do it. So we get up, it was all wobbly coming down, I was shaking. We look round the gardens, oh, they're gorgeous, oh, they're beautiful. Oh, you do feel like, I hope heaven's like that. But I still got this fear on me because I can't contact my children. Because where we were staying, at the hotel where we were staying, it was, I wrote it down because I'm not very good at remembering, the Pier House in Charlestown. I thought it was Penzance, but it's not. Anyway, you can't get a signal there at all. So you can imagine the fear. How do I contact the children? Are they safe? Then I get this, walking through the gardens, and we come out, and there's a zip wire going across, and all I heard was, trust me, do it. And I thought, you're having a laugh. You're having a laugh here. You're having a laugh. Hey, you know what? God stepped in. I felt like he dragged me through this fear. Come on, get off that fence. Get off it and do it, Pat. And I did it. I went up there on my own and I thought, no chance on this earth am I going. I'm wired up. They've got everything on me. And I'm thinking, no. As soon as I saw it, I thought, no. Nah. But I heard this voice again. And it wasn't a thing. It was just someone saying, who do you trust? Trust me. And we did it. And that 1 minute and so many seconds, I sent you the video, was, I can't explain what it felt like. But when I got off, because my husband was laughing, he said, you'll never do it. When I got off, he gave me a hug and he said, I'm so proud of you. But the fear had gone. This some fear that was on me had gone, and I felt this peace like I've never felt in a long, long time. And even when we came back, we were being hit and attacked and attacked and attacked with problems, people being told they've got cancer, children wanting to die and things like that. But I had this peace and it didn't bother me. I felt free and I felt like, right, God, what were you telling me? And this is the verse that I got. I'll just read it. It's from John 14, verse 27. I am leaving you with a gift, praise God. Peace of mind and heart, amen. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Praise God and thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you.
Muriel, I didn't speak to you before. Before I went away, you mentioned it. To share some.
Yes, okay. Good morning, friends. This happened to me about 12 months ago. It was one Saturday morning, and I always get a paper, a Daily Mail, every Saturday morning. It's the only paper that I ever buy. Anyway, the shop's nearby, but I was running late, and I thought, I'm not going to get one. And I said, please God, let me get my paper. And then I said, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me, you have more things to think about than that. Anyway, I set off and I get there, one paper, one mail, and I said, thank you, God, very quietly. And as I came out of the shop, I felt heat across my head and I heard these words, you are my child, and I want to please you. He's such an amazing, wonderful God. He loves us in everything. just so pleased that this church knows him and loves him, because that's what we need. He's a wonderful, wonderful, amazing God. Thank you.
Papers are available. Just to cover the ground. Sue is where's Sue?
Good morning, everybody. So if you don't know me, I'm Curly Sue. And I just wanted to play, it's only a minute long, Dave. I just wanted to play something for everybody and share with what I received yesterday.
If you look around today, many people are struggling. Someone somewhere is worried and anxious about a prodigal child. A child who has lost their way. Someone else in this world has just received terrible news. Now life will never be the same again for them. So let me ask you, who do you depend on when life gets tough? Who do you depend on when you see nothing but trouble and chaos around you? Who do you depend on when you have no strength? Who is it that you depend on when you are faced with circumstances that you can do nothing about? Well, today, people of God, I want to encourage you to depend on God. Depend on a God who has given us wonderful promises in the Bible. Promises that should lift us up when life tries to push us down. Promises that should bring peace to our hearts, even if our external environment is tumultuous. God's promises are what you and I should depend on, because God is a faithful God. He's a God who keeps his word because he is truth. Now, I pray that this message will serve as a reminder to each and every believer listening. I want you to know that when you begin to trust in God's promises, you'll realize that you are well taken care of. You will lack for nothing. And for those who may be wondering, what are these promises? Allow me to remind you what the Bible says. In Isaiah 41, verse 13, the Bible says, "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you." This is a promise for those seasons in life when you feel as though you can't get a break. It's a promise that God Almighty will help you. The Lord will come to your aid. He will be your support. He will be your pillar of strength.
So let me share with you my journey with God. The chains had hold of me before birth in the mum's womb. God bless my mum. She was damaged. She had strong mental troubles. She was so depressed. Childbirth, I feel, added to her damaged soul. I was 12 weeks old when she took her own life. So my journey began. If there's one piece of advice I can give to all of you, please treasure, love, respect, and enjoy your mum. So the first 50 years of my life were really hard. They truly were not easy. 10 years ago, I found a new friend. I invited Jesus into my life. I asked the Lord to help me. He saved me from myself. He rescued me. Just at the point of a mental breakdown, at another lowest point in my life, I was diagnosed with bipolar. This is where God's healing began. I'm sure Lee and Leslie and the whole team can also testify to my words being true. All of my family in Christ, who have helped God to heal me. the love, the guidance, the encouragement. I could go on and on giving thanks to the Lord for bringing all you beautiful people, great-hearted people. You inspire me. Lee, I'm sure, can tell you I am healing. In Jesus' name, I prayed. My prayers were heard. My prayers were answered. I prayed for my peace of mind. I prayed asking God to open the eyes of my heart. I prayed for healing from bipolar and stress and anxiety. I prayed asking the Lord to help me, to guide me, teach me how to stop dwelling on troubles, the storms. I prayed rid of my bipolar, the chains. I prayed I would be healed as I stopped taking lithium medication, which is a dangerous drug, 10 months ago when I was in Egypt. I knew what I needed to heal myself. I needed God, sunshine, the correct food, beautiful surroundings, beautiful people, faith, hope, trust and confidence. God, my Heavenly Father, answered every prayer. So when we truly place Him at the forefront of our lives, we experience the transformation so profound that our lives will never be the same. I know my family in Christ, see and feel a massive healing and improvement in my being, my mind and my health. Me, Susan, Curly Sue, I'm the happiest I've ever felt in my whole life. God answered and gave me peace. Amen.
Don't we? And life is not always easy, but He promises that He will be with us and He'll work with us and He'll help us to overcome as we bring Him more into our lives and we trust in Him. And it's a journey, and some of us are still on that journey. And in fact, we're all on that journey, you know, of claiming and healing and restoring into the fullness of who Christ created us to be. Anybody else who was down to share? A couple of people, if I can just keep it fairly brief, but come on in, Margaret. All of you, you can come, and then I'll...
You know, I can talk to anybody anywhere, but looking at everybody here, that's a different thing. Anyway, hello. Right, the Lord is using me. He's been using me for a while now. And right, I was in Middleton bus station a few weeks ago, and I wasn't at my normal stop. I'd stopped somewhere else to sit down, and then a lady came, and she was wincing. I could see her in pain. So I said, "You all right?" And she said, "No, I've got a pain in my leg," which was the lower part of the leg, of a foot. So I said, "Lord, do you want me to pray for this lady?" Yeah. But then another woman came, and they're having a conversation together. And I thought, right. Satan's at it again. He's put his stumbling block in me. Get out. I got up. This is brief. I got up and went round the back and I thought, my God said do it, I'll do it. So I said to the lady, would you like me to pray for you? She said, yes. I prayed. I gave her a kiss on the head. And there was a man looking at me when I finished. And I thought, crumbs. It gave me a right dirty look. And I thought, we'll blow you. You need Jesus. And that was it. You know, you don't think a bit. It was weeks later, I was in Tesco's. And blow me, this lady, she comes at the side of me. She says, excuse me, did you pray for me in Middleton bus station? I said, yeah. She said, I'm healed. I said, hallelujah. I said, praise the Lord. I said, thank you, Jesus. I said, say thank you. She said, thank you. I said, not me. I said, Jesus. thank you. I said, no, Jesus. So she said, I said it very quietly, thank you, Jesus. But, and then she too pulled off. And I'm stood there with my arms up in the air. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Praise him. And everybody's walking past, and you know, they didn't bat an eyelid. They thought it was nuts. So praise him. For all you that get discouraged, you know, when you pray for somebody and you don't get anything, you just don't know. But God does work. He's in it. Can I say two more?
Say two more.
just tiny things, these. Right, the first one. I enjoyed my tea a few weeks ago. And I just said, oh, Lord, I really enjoyed that. And thank you greatly. And he said, you're welcome. He did, plain as anything. Thank you. And the other one, I'm trying to put a fitted sheet on the mattress. Three corners, fine. Fourth one, no way. Anyway, I struggled. I hurt my finger trying to get it. Oh, I thought this won't do. I said, Lord, after a struggle, Lord, I can't do this, but you can, straight away.
There you go. I like the fact that God's at work even in Middleton bus station. I like that. That's encouraging, isn't it? God's interested in every bit of us, isn't he, in what we're doing. Who else put their hand up very briefly? Oh, we've got a few people. Graham coming in. We've got a few.
Might have to hold the microphone. Morning, everybody. We have a meeting on Thursday, a Thursday fellowship group. David calls it a holy group. I don't know. You do? I think you said it in jest. I hope you did anyway, yeah. But we've been looking at 1 John, and the last session we had seven sessions on it. We asked what verse in particular had spoken to people in that group. There were several ones. There's many memorable verses in 1 John. But the one that overwhelmingly was the favourite was 1 John 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. We had a discussion about this. I've just done a couple of notes, 2 minutes. How great the love the Father has lavished on us. We looked at this word lavish. I've looked up, it says, to bestow something in generous or extravagant quantities, unstinted or unmeasured profusion. You get the impression that this lavishing love that God has for us, absolutely fantastic. John, when he says how great the love that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are, John is amazed and absolutely blown away by this love that we have from God. I looked up a quote from a great preacher, not you, David, sorry. Spurgeon. And he says, you poor people that love me, you sick people, you unknown, obscure people, without any talent, I have published before heaven and earth, and made the angels know it, that you are my children, and I am not ashamed of you. I glory in the fact that I have taken you for my sons and daughters. Praise God.
Update, I am 7 months sober.
Never, after 25 years of hiding in alcohol, thought I would be that long. When I was in rehab, the statistic was out of 20 people, 3 would survive. And I'm sat there and like, goodness me. 7 of the people that I know that was in there with great human beings are back on their drugs or alcohol, which is breaking my heart. They've asked to see me, but I've got to stay away from it. The first few months when I was back, it was like a honeymoon. But yes, I'm free. I'm at peace. Hallelujah. God is good. It was really easy. The past 2 weeks, wow. I've not spent any fellowship in the past 2 weeks, and I have been tested to the limit. Yesterday, a lot of you may think of me as a gentle giant. I am. I was pushed yesterday, nearly knocked off my bike, to a point, and I'm going to share it, that I actually stood at the side of that car, swearing for them to get out of the car. That isn't me. The old me would have gone straight back on the alcohol. The only reason why I'm stood here today is because of Jesus. The only statistic that matters to me is that Jesus is in my life. I've been struggling with a purpose. It's become so apparent to me that Jesus wants me to be a beacon of hope in an addiction world. So if anybody, this isn't about me this morning, it's about if anybody knows somebody that's got an addiction or anything like that, I'm willing to stand there and declare the glory of the Father God that saves me every single day. I wasn't going to come this morning because I was so angry, but I spent last night praying for 3 hours. I got up this morning. I wasn't going to share, but maybe there's someone in here that needs Jesus in their life, and maybe Jesus will use me. So praise God for that. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Apologies for my tardiness today. Apologies about that. But today I want to speak about something called, well, what I call the gift of God. And obviously the first gift that he ever gave us was the Lord Saviour, obviously. And he did a lot of, you know, very good work. But if I can just start with this short prayer. Almighty, thank you that you did not require us to know all the answers. Thank you that you reward those that earnestly seek you. God, I have faith. I want more faith. Please help me believe. Amen. So, I'm a 44-year-old man. I could stand here forever and tell you about what I've lost. But in reality, I haven't lost anything. Ups and downs, ins and outs, you know. Regardless, I've done my best, tried really hard, so, you know, I can't fault myself. I've got a life full of memories, and obviously I'm going to build another life full of more memories. But, I think it's just a long life journey with this whole, like, faith thing. I think, for me, it's a personal thing. I come to the church, to a community, but for me, the Almighty is a personal thing. You know, I don't necessarily share it with everyone I know. Just the gift of God, what's gone is gone. It's what's in front of you. And you've got to keep giving and giving and giving. And obviously, keep giving faith has led me to brand new avenues, you know, new ways of living, new ways of being alive. So I'd just like to finish with this other small, short prayer, if that's okay. Almighty, send your peace, peace to this world, peace to this country, peace to my friends and my community, peace for my family and all my loved ones. Almighty, give me your peace and then help me to give it away. Amen.
I think there's just Stephen, is that right? Come on, Stephen.
Hiya, I'm Stephen, as you know. I've been coming here for quite a few years now. Basically, I got married here about 2.5 years ago, but fortunately it didn't work out. Basically in September 2022, like, me and my wife at the time was been trying for quite a few years to have a baby, and finally happened, and then a couple of weeks later he ended up having a miscarriage. And then in December, lost my nan. After it, she was quite ill for over a couple of years. And then in March, lost my grandma. And in all that time, I was at points where I was giving up. But I came into church, he had support of Jamie, off all the people from here, David. And then stuff happened, really, with me and my wife, where it didn't work out due to different issues. It was just... And then it's like this year, I end up getting me redundant after 20 years. And then it's like my divorce got finalised this year too. It was just, I was at the point where I was like, didn't know where else to turn. And I came in here and one day, and it was just broke down, and got this feeling like, you can get through it. And then, like, this last couple of months since I left my job, it's just like I've been helping out at Barker Street and seeing the stories there. And over this last couple of years at Barker Street, it's just been amazing getting to be part of it. And I just want to focus on the future now, of like, be positive and like, I can get through all this, what I've been through. And like, all the support of everyone here and stuff, just thank you for everything.
I think I've come to the end of my testimony list and everything, and we've heard lots of great stories today about what God has been doing. I've got one more thing, but I might do it at the end. I'd still like us to take communion sometimes. Like, I'm always panicking because I got told off last time as well, because I don't want to get told off again, because it went on so long, I cancelled communion. And but no, they didn't get told off, really. So I'd like to, because I like communion to be a response for us today. We've heard about just an amazing God that we have. And communion reminds us of what God did for us through Jesus on the cross in the end, doesn't it? Which is ultimately why now we have the testimonies of victory and freedom and people's lives being transformed and helped and all that. It's because of the cross, isn't it? Because on the cross, and when we take communion, when we take this bread and this little bit of red juice representing the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, we're claiming that again. We're celebrating that again. We're giving thanks for that again. And because we're all on that journey. All our journeys are different. But in the end, I think whatever journey you're on, whatever your life is like, being like, always going to be forward, we need Jesus. We do. But the thing about it is, Jesus is for us. And he wants to walk that journey with us. He wants to help us in all that life might come, and the celebrations and the struggles. And as we take communion today, it is a celebration of that as well as coming before God. Yes, in forgiveness, asking for his forgiveness, repentance, turning away from our old self and renewing our new self in Christ. So I would like us to do that as we kind of move towards the end of our service. But so let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the stories and the testimonies and the people that have shared today. Lord, I pray that as they've shared, Lord, and given out, that you would even now fill them again with your Holy Spirit. Lord, because we know that when you give out, you need to be refilled. Would you abundantly refill them with your presence and your spirit and your care? Lord, we thank you for the proclamation of a mighty God that you are, a God who brings freedom, a God who brings hope, a God who heals, a God who walks alongside. Lord, we thank you for the stories and the share that we've heard today. And we know there are many of us. And Lord, we pray that as we move into just this time of worship and just sharing it in the bread and the communion act together, Lord, that you would just help us to come to you again, wherever we're at. Lord, yes, coming in that sense of asking, knowing we need forgiveness. There's things in our lives that need sorting. But Lord, we come in a confidence that you love us, your welcome is there, your forgiveness is flowing, your peace is there, your healing is there. Lord, as we come, and our hearts yearning for you, you meet us in that place. Lord, would there even be more testimonies today because of what you do over the next few minutes as we worship, as we share in this act that unites us in Christ. Lord, we claim the victory in Christ again. And we give thanks for your goodness to us. Lord, our lives may be filled with gratitude for your praise and for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. But he's going to share just because he's going on from university, finished university now, and going on to his next stage. And I felt it was important as someone who's grew up in the church that you hear where he's going next.
Yeah, so as many of you know, I graduated uni this year. Which means that from the 11th of September, I'll be starting a new chapter in my life. About 12 years ago, I started to go to a Christian youth camp called Yorkshire Camps up near Skipton with my cousin. And for many years, it has helped me to grow and challenge my faith in many different ways. About 6 years ago, I was then old enough to help out on the crew side of camp, on the younger ones, doing all the background jobs, things like washing up and setting up all the games and activities, while still being able to go and spend some time there myself. It was a way to help give back, basically. About 3 years ago, I was then old enough again to start dorm leading. Dorm leading involves putting all your energy all the time into the children, doing the games with them, putting them to bed, singing ridiculous songs, a full mixture of things, leading Bible study groups with them as well. And it was a chance for me to give the other kids the opportunities that I had and the enjoyment that I had over the time that I've spent being there. So this year, I'll be spending my time doing a mission year there as part of their training team program. I'll be helping running over 40 camps throughout the calendar year. Various different age groups and different groups that will come. So we have church groups, we have school groups, we do holiday camps and things like that as well. As well as that, I'll be able to get involved with the local primary schools and churches with things there too. And then when camps aren't on, end up helping out, looking after the site. It's a very nice area, as well as taking part in a Bible study course in Leyland, which I'm looking forward to. My hope for this year is that I'll be able to use it as a year to focus on my faith and focus on growing in that and developing my relationship with God, and having spent 4 years at uni, being able to spend 1 year really focused on that, I think is going to help me massively moving on into proper life, as it was. It's also a chance to give back to the charity that has contributed so much to developing my faith. So that's what I'll be doing. As a mission year, I have to find my own funding for my time there, as well as facing many challenges, some that I feel ready for, some that I'll have no idea what it's going to be. Things to do with my faith, as well as living with a load of 18-year-olds, which, after doing once, going back and doing it again is going to be an interesting time. But I pray that hopefully that we'll be able to support each other in that. So any support is appreciated, prayer or otherwise. And I just wanted to say thank you for everyone who has supported me over the many years here as well. Thank you.